In this episode, what is in your fucking food, what could be in there, and what you should do to make sure you're eating the right foods for your body. Put it in my mouth. Oh, 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 oh.
The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. The bacon is sizzling. Welcome to the Daily Swole.
Aha. Yes, yes, yes. Testing, testing, testing. What up, what up, what up? Testing, 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 testing. Is this on? Testing testicles? Is this on? Test, 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 testicles. Oh, welcome everyone to episode 901 of the Daily Mother Swole, the most muscular swolecast, beardcast, broadcast, gangcast, mancast, pimpcast, sleazecast, slaycast, hump day cast in the realm. Because when I flex, you flex, we all flex our biceps. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Welcome everyone to the show. Welcome to episode 901. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. If you're in Australia, it's Thursday. You're weird. And there's nothing else to say about that. All you Australians down under. That was like a Scottish accent. Anyway, let's just move on. Let's ignore what just happened. Welcome everyone, no matter what time zone you're in. Where are you watching from? Make sure you drop your location, drop your address and your social security number as well, and your mother's maiden name. If you don't mind, no big deal if you don't. But where are you watching the Swole from? Just everyone just gets fucking identity stolen. Nothing like a good stolen ID. Nothing like a good stolen ID on a Wednesday. Well, welcome everyone to the show. 901, you're watching live on Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch, and those of you that are subscribed and listening in on the Slamcast. The Slamcast on, no, there is no Slamcast, but you can go to swolenormousx.com and click on podcast, and then you can subscribe to the app of your choice, and I hope that you are subscribed. And thank you for everyone that's been leaving reviews on iTunes. Super stoked. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Much love and respect to for those in the review game. What I want to do, actually, before, as we get into this, because today's episode, what's in your food? We got Pennsylvania in the house. We got Washington, the land of Oz, Savannah, Georgia, Keensburg, New York, Idaho. Nice. We got international gains. We got the United Kingdom, UK in the house. What up? What up, you Kizzle? What up, you Kizzle? Let's see. Here we go. What I wanted to do before we jump in, I wanted to give shout outs. Remember I was saying that for those of you that are leaving reviews on iTunes, I want to give you all shout outs. I want to say thank you. So today's review is from Dania F. So thank you for leaving the review on iTunes. And she quote says, "Wow, I just went back to the beginning of the podcast and only halfway through the episode one, and my brain is buzzing and body itching to slay away after a rest day." I like that. Slay away after a rest day. "I absolutely love the enthusiasm Dash brings to each podcast, as well as his desire to educate and expand fitness freaks' horizons every single day. He teaches you to fish rather than give you the fish. His passion for this lifestyle is truly infectious. Thank you very much, Dania. And I'd rather give you grass-fed beef than fish, honestly. But no, I appreciate the review. And if you want a shout-out and you want me to read your review, please go leave one. I can't read a review that doesn't exist, and you can do that on iTunes. So thank you very much for the review. And if you haven't yet, please go do so. So today's episode, what's in your food? Yesterday's episode was kind of like a rant, kind of like a rage, kind of like some fire in the hole. You know what I'm saying? We talked about some of the issues with food and Monsanto and Bayer and that whole court case that went down. So we're about to get into this, and I want to talk more conceptually. I'm not going to be reading more studies. There's a lot of buzzwords and some headline things firing on, like on CNN and Fox, about, you know, relating to that issue. Because usually what happens when there's a story that breaks, there are other articles that are like redug up, regurgitated, reworded, rewritten, you know, from the past, because this is nothing new. There's nothing new about food that has poison in it, Roundup, weed killer stuff that's in your food, because the pesticides that are sprayed on your food comes out in the processing. So it's not just on the plant when it gets picked, when it gets washed, because these pesticides have to resist water. They're outside, rain. They get into the food. So in the final product and the cereals and the oats and all these things that they are sprayed so they can actually grow so that the bugs don't eat them, they actually come out in your food. And they have to be below certain guidelines to be admissible, right, by government regulations. And we'll talk about that in a second. Before we even get into this further, because everyone's kind of coming through the door, it is Wednesday, and it's Wednesday, October 24th. And I do want to give a shout out and a big happy birthday to Jason Dare. I'm going to call it Dare because he's a big fan. He's been a part of the community. He's, he's plugging into the show all the time, and I see his name popping up all the time, and he always has great input, and he's a big supporter of the Daily Swole. So I want to say thank you, Jason, and wish you a very happy birthday, your wife and baby Reagan. So happy 37th birthday, bro. Thank you so much for being a big supporter of the show. And everyone in the comments right now, say happy birthday, Jason. I'm not going to sing because that'd be fucking weird. And that'd be like an awkward pause of just some bearded dude in a room singing happy birthday to another man. Kind of strange, but I'll let you all do that. And you've seen his name pop up. If you're watching and you're always commenting, you know Jason's here all the time. So make sure you drop in the comments, wish him a happy birthday. Go make some sick fucking gains. And Jason, by the way, your wife loves your six pack. She told me. She loves your six pack. She's like, what do you give to a man who has everything, including an amazing six pack? I don't know. What do you give him? What do you give him? Well, I'm not going to say it here because that's probably inappropriate, but you already know what to do. I think you already know what to do. Chances are you're doing it already. I'll leave it there. Ramon, what up? What's going on, IG? What up, fam? Happy birthday, Jason. Yeah, float some biceps, float all that shit. Oh, everyone's tuning out. Everyone knows. Hassan, what up? All right, cool. Everyone's getting that message. Nice. Well, very, very awesome. Anyone else got a birthday today? Any other birthday wishes? Should we start doing that? Just giving like birthday wishes. Happy birthday to each of my sick fucking gains. Happy birthday to my biceps. Happy birthday to the left one and to the right one too. The end. Happy birthday to the gun show. All right. So where were we? We're talking about food. Yesterday, I mentioned that breaking news story, the court case was in favor of the plaintiff, the groundskeeper that won $78 million, that received or... You know, I'm always hesitant to be excited because, like, when is he going to see this money? You know the company is going to do whatever they can to delay it until the guy fucking dies or something and then be nitpicky and appeal and... So, but he won. So the precedent is there. Anyway, what happens? What happens when food is grown? If there are farmers if you're watching right now and you're a farmer, feel free to chime in. Now, I am not an expert in the sense of I'm not an agriculture expert. I don't know all the processes, but I think we're all aware of what goes on. People, and if you've done any kind of planting, if you've done any kind of planting, think about this. Who here has tried to grow like a strawberry plant on their porch or grow something in their little garden? Right away, you know how hard it is. If you grow anything of any type of fruit, it gets eaten in 3 seconds by bugs. It just gets destroyed. So it's kind of like, oh, it was a fun little hobby, but it doesn't really work. So on these large scale farms, you have thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of crops. Whether it's corn, whether it's wheat, whether it's whatever, you need to make sure that it grows because you need to make your money to pay for X, Y, and Z. Now, not getting into the whole subsidizing of corn and this with the government, you have any crop. It doesn't matter whether it's fruit. It doesn't matter anything. You need to make sure it grows. And bugs are going to try to get at it. Bugs are going to try to get at the food, and you need to spray the food in order to keep the bugs away. You put deodorant on so you don't stink. You put cologne on so you smell a certain way. You spray the plants. You spray the field. You spray this, and the bugs stay away. The plants grow, they're harvested, and then they're sent on their way, and they're processed, and they're ground up grains, oats, corn, whatever it is. One of the things that is the, I guess, the debate, organic, not organic, you know, conventional, it goes back to what is actually being sprayed on it. Certain chemicals are going to be classified organic. Maybe they break down quicker. I have to check to see what the latest regulations are, but all these companies are going to skirt and round and cut corners. And I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that every company out there is malicious. I'm not saying every company out there has bad intentions, because I don't think that's necessarily the case. And I want to make a point, because on any two sides of a battle, you are going to, on any two sides of a battle, you might see, okay, there's good and evil, or there's right and wrong. But each side, if there's a battle, each side thinks they are correct. And I think on any side of a battle, each side has like some kind of like good intentions, or there's some part of it that has some kind of altruistic vision, or, you know, both sides think they're right. And whether or not they're actually, it's actually the best answer, there's usually some kind of viewpoint that they hope is going to result in something positive, you know, and it's very subjective. This is my point. It's very hard to put this into words, because it's so very subjective. But you have two sides and they both think they're right. We, as a society, you, me, the companies, we're all caught up in this machine. And because these systems of farming, the economy, living, social media, right, society, politics, there are so many moving parts, it's very hard to change things. It's very hard to switch things around. So when there is certain legislation and there are certain general movements and shifts, it's hard to avoid that, because we're all part of this huge blob organism kind of moving one direction. It's like a big cruise ship. You can't turn on a dime. It's a gradual shift. And a lot of these big companies get caught up in the mix, because if the government, for example, changes a regulation, says it's illegal. Let's say the government comes out with a law. A law is passed. It is illegal to use this pesticide. Let's call it pesticide A. All right, let's say this pesticide is used by every farming, agriculture company, farmer, small farmer. Let's say this pesticide is the best thing that anyone's ever found to work for crops. Let's just assume there's one. There are hundreds, I know. There are probably even thousands. This one pesticide is the best. Let's assume it's called pesticide A. The government, for whatever reason, maybe it, you know, it's political, there's some lobbyist, there's some interest that affects the change of the law. Maybe it comes out that pesticide A may cause cancer, whatever it is. So the government passes laws on the amount you can use. Maybe if you use pesticide A, now you have to call it conventional. You can't call it organic. Maybe there's social outcry because someone made a documentary on it and everyone's like, I'm not eating with this. So these companies all of a sudden are forced into a corner. Like, they can't use it. People aren't going to eat their products. They're a company. A company is an organism. They're going to go out of business. So they have two choices. They have to change and use other things and use other methods, use pesticides B, C, D, E, you know, in order to stay in public favor, in order to abide by whatever government guidelines, for whatever reason, those things are passed. Now, I'm not saying that this is all good and fine and good. I'm just telling you, this is kind of how it works. If you're a company working under the umbrella of the law, and for whatever reason, a law gets passed, or there's public opinion that's going to affect your product being used and your company staying afloat, you have to change. That's what happened with fast food when they moved from things like beef tallow to using vegetable oil. They couldn't use beef tallow anymore because everyone was having a war on saturated fat, animal fat. It's bad for you. Use these vegetable oils. Use Crisco instead, blah, blah, blah. So what are they going to do? McDonald's, Burger King, whatever else out there, they had to shift and start using other things. And now we realize, oh, fuck, that's not good. That's not good at all. But they had to adapt or die. And that's what humans do. That's what most companies do. But the thing is, these big food companies have a lot of power and a lot of sway, and we don't know all the details. Now, this is happening thousands of times in so many different shades and so many different layers. This is just one general, simple example. And you can see how many different moving parts there potentially can be. And I don't know all the details. I don't know anyone that knows all the details, but it's important to keep an open mind and realize how these things work. So even if a company originally, and all these companies started small, right? Apple started as a small company. Amazon was a small little company. All these companies, no company starts off massive. They start off small and they grow fast, or they grow big over time. Like they all start in like someone's garage, a little single building, a tiny building, you know. They all start small because you're starting, you're a new company. And how fast you grow depends on the business and how it's run and the demand and whatnot. So these companies might have started with good intentions, like we're going to grow crops, we're going to be an association of grain growers, then it turns into General Mills, and then it turns into, you know, all these different things. So once you're a huge corporate machine and you own all these other companies and you own all of this and you have lobbyists in the government and you're under strict regulations and you have to supply, no matter what, you have to be supplying thousands or millions and millions and millions of pounds of grains every single day in order to be, you know, to keep up with regulations, to keep up with supply and demand, it's very hard to change things snap like that. Like, oh, we're just not going to use this pesticide anymore. That's a huge shift. That's a huge shift for a company. And it does cost millions, if not billions of dollars to shift directions. So it's not that easy. Even if we all know this is what has to happen, you still got to kind of like slowly lurch to a stop, change directions, build a new road if that's what we need, you know, to go a different direction. There's just a lot of different things that come into play. I'm not being, you know, devil's advocate here necessarily. I'm just trying to show there are many different degrees of how this works. It's not that simple. This is bad. Make it this way. Plus, we don't have all the research that proves these things. So as much research as there can be for one thing, you can find some research or create or fake whatever research that shows the other way. And it's hard for these things to get out into the open. It's a little bit different now with social media where things can get passed around really quickly. But what I find when it comes to food, when it comes to pesticides, what's good, what's bad, all these different diets, keto, paleo, vegan, because of social media, we have a lot more information at our fingertips. However, and tell me if I'm wrong or what's your opinion on this, drop this in the comments below. Do you think that because there's so much information, because so many people are talking, because we have social media, because so many people can open their mouths, that people are actually ignoring information? Because we have so much more access to it, we actually shut down more. I think we're becoming more passive. We're becoming more apathetic in all aspects, politically, with food. We're just resigned to the fact that there's so much stuff out there. Fuck this noise. Let me ignore this and watch Netflix. Let me punch out because this is just too much for me to handle. There's too much. There are too many talking heads. There are too many voices. I have a podcast. I have a podcast that reaches thousands of people every single day. There are people, there are thousands of podcasts that reach thousands of people every single day. And this is just the podcast. What about TV shows? What about articles in magazines and online and blogs? What about Instagram pages? Every Instagram page is like a little mini podcast, right? Spreading information, whether it's true or false. YouTube channels, Twitter pages, Snapchat, like every single thing is a method to spread information, whether it's good, bad, true, false, happy, sad, entertaining, or whatever. I think that's why things aren't changing as much, because there's so much information. And here's the interesting thing. Somewhere in this mess of information, there's truth. Somewhere there's truth, but we either don't have enough research for it. It gets masked by other things. There's other sensationalist things that are being promoted that are sexier to be on a headline. And then people don't, we just miss the truth even. And we wouldn't even know the truth if it slapped us in the face. Yeah. I like that way. Michelle, analysis paralysis. Mormel 84, it's bombarding. One reason why I like watching you is because you keep it real and simple. I'm trying to, and I'm not saying I have all the answers. And I think that's why you all like to watch and listen, because I'm trying to give you and show you the door, right? I'm trying to show you, these are the things that are out there. be aware of these things because I don't have the actual answer either. There isn't one single answer, and if there is, we don't really know what it is yet. So that being said, I noticed, and there are some articles on popular media now based on this whole Monsanto thing and the case that was lost. They're discussing how there is glyphosate, which is the ingredient in Roundup, and you can find that in your food. I don't know how many of you know that, but you'll find Roundup, the primary chemical in Roundup, glyphosate, you'll find that in cereals. You can test cereals like Honey Nut Cheerios, apparently, and these oat bars. You can test those and find small amounts of glyphosate, which is the ingredient used in Roundup. You will find that in your food. You'll find that in your food. Why? Because those things are sprayed with them, and then when they get processed, they don't get rid of all of them. Now, the debate lies now, and here is the crazy thing. You'll have people like the World Health Organization. Well, certain levels of glyphosate don't cause cancer. They've been proven, haven't been shown to show X, Y, and Z over this amount. Well, that's very opinionated, right? That's very opinionated. I mean, we can't avoid everything. However, the government has certain regulations. You can't have over X amount, for example, of glyphosate in your food. However, California is more stringent and it supersedes or it exceeds their regulation. And then you have different organizations. You have the World Health Organization, and then you have the EPA, which is very political. So how much of the science, how much of the articles, how much of these scientific quote experts or these scientists, how many of them are paid off? How many of them are under, like, you might have a scientist at the EPA saying this is not bad levels for humans. However, what if they're funded by one of these companies and they're doing research as a scientist and they're also a member or a part or whatever of the EPA? What if they have other interests, which is very common? How can you check and make sure that no one is getting paid under the table? How can you make sure that no one is getting little gifts or special trips or, you know, come to my conference, it's all paid for, like that kind of stuff? How can you track all these thousands and millions of people that are part of this big system? There's a lot of hand-holding. There's a lot of fingering under the table, right? Everyone's jerking each other off. But we can't prove all of it, and we can't monitor all of it. It's too much to monitor. There's too much information. There's too much shit going on. And as much as there's good in the world, there's a lot of shady shit going on in the world, and it's happening all the time. So it's very hard to sift through this. Now, you can sit in your room. You can sit in your room, you can sit in your apartment, your house, and not go anywhere, not touch anything. You could be an absolute, you could be afraid of the world because literally when I step outside, I know I'm breathing brake dust. I know I'm breathing fallout from the airport. What am I going to do? Walk around with a mask all the time? Am I going to block myself from the sun because the sun could do this and that? I'm not going to touch that. You could be really, really obsessive. You have to draw the line somewhere. You can't protect yourself from everything. I, for one, I don't want to consume glyphosate. And this could be something where, how do you know that every single amount of food everywhere is the same amount? Maybe some cereals or some oat bars or some of these boxed foods have higher levels. They don't test every single one. I'm sure it's not consistent across every. So what if you're eating these things, you know, once in a while, maybe not be a big deal. What if you're having oatmeal every single day for 50 years? And maybe you get cancer when you're older. So maybe that was under the level that was deemed bad by the FDA, by the EPA, by the World Health Organization. But maybe over the course of 60 years, in combination with toxic fallout, in combination with questionable exercise or other nutritional habits that you may have, sleep deprivation, whatever, what normal people go through, and then people have fucking cancer. One thing is for certain, cancer and heart disease are rampant, diabetes rampant. So what is the answer? Why are those diseases fucking so ubiquitous? Why are they everywhere? It's all tied into everything. And you can't, and this is where everything gets masked. This is where things get that fall through the cracks because you can't prove that one thing causes this. And the reason why you have cancer when you're 65 is because you ate Quaker oats when you were in your teens, I know you fucking ate Quaker Oats for 10 years. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that manifested itself 30 years down the road. Maybe it flipped on some gene sequences when you're a teenager, and then later on, it comes out. How are you going to test that? How the fuck could you actually figure that out? Maybe it was a unique combination of the fact that you had oatmeal. I'm not trying to pick on oatmeal, but oatmeal oats, all right? Maybe you ate Honey Nut Cheerios. Maybe it was the combination. You had Honey Nut Cheerios, which wasn't a problem in itself. However, you ate Honey Nut Cheerios with a plastic spoon. And that combination created this, you know, this combination molecule in your body. It's hard to, you can see what I mean. There's so many different little subtle tweaks and changes. Many, 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 many little subtle tweaks and changes. We as humans love to have an answer. We love to point to one thing. That's the problem. That's who's at fault. This right here, boom, that's the issue. But a lot of these things don't cause problems necessarily when they are in a petri dish, when they're in a test tube. They might cause a problem when they're in a rat. That's why we test, maybe. Maybe they don't cause a problem when they're in a rat. However, maybe they cause a problem when they're in a human. Maybe they don't cause a problem in a petri dish, in a rat, or in a human by itself. But what if that human is sedentary? What if that human also smokes? What if that human also drinks milk? What if that human blah, 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 does one thing that with that other product or that other substance creates this? Or maybe that creates a problem in 25% of the population. Maybe 75% of people with those two combinations don't see any problem. But then 25%, for whatever genetic reason, that causes a problem. When you start thinking about all the little variables, the millions, I think we can agree there are probably millions of combinations, all right? If you play the lottery and you realize all those different millions of different little combinations, tweaks, adjustments, ratios, when you look at all those possibilities, it's really hard to point your finger. It's really hard to eat truly healthy and do things by the book, because there's no book that really fucking has the answer. So it's kind of like, what religion do you want to follow? And what I want to encourage you is to not follow any fucking religion. And I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about diet. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about the religion that people associate and that kind of mentality when it comes to nutrition. I mean, a lot of vegans are freaking like religious zealots. It's the same thing when you go extreme. Carnivore diet, extreme, right? Even paleo, keto, any kind of diet, people get religious about it and they get defensive about it. I encourage all of you to not take that kind of a stand, because it's not correct. You can't take that stand, because as we grow and as we learn and as we develop and as science progresses and we really start figuring some shit out, hopefully, you might have to change your opinion. And if you're so dug in, you are going to be closed off like a horse in a race. You're going to have those blinders on, and you're not going to be able to dip and to dart and to adjust dynamically. I am 100% open to changing anything that I do if I find information that behooves it. If I find something like, wow, it's absolutely proven. Look at this. We've done 50 studies. This does this, does this, does this, you know, and it's really cut and dry and there's no loopholes. Maybe you try it. Maybe you try it. Maybe you go in. Maybe you switch things and you see how it works. I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to be open to the possibility that we're wrong. We have to be open to the possibility that we're right. We have to be open to the possibility that maybe we're not doing things perfectly, which is probably the case. I don't think anyone's doing anything perfectly in this world. There's always room for improvement, but you have to be limber and flexible enough, to use a fitness type term, right? You have to be able to bend. You have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to manipulate your training, your nutrition, in order to suit your needs in the moment. What you do right now is going to be different than what you do in 30 years. It's going to be different. It's going to be different because your goals change, because science changes, because your body changes, what interests you changes, what passion you have changes. Things are going to change. Things will change. And what we know today, we didn't know 40 years ago. And what we know in 40 years, we're gonna look back today and be like, remember we fucking did that? I'd be like, man, remember when I used to do the podcast with the headphones on and the microphone? I was getting all these fucking waves through my brain. Shit, that causes brain cancer. Who the fuck would have known? I was doing a podcast. I thought I was doing something good and everything. And all this shit around my brain just fucking fried my... Maybe, fucking probably, right? All this Wi-Fi just radiating through my body right now. All this electromagnetic field just... Maybe, whatever. You got to pick your battles, right? There's going to be nothing... You're not a bubble boy or girl. You're not living in a bubble. You're in the world, right? You go outside, you're going to touch some germs. You got bacteria crawling all over your fucking body inside and out right now. Little tiny bugs. You know, blah, blah, blah. All over, trillions of them. So you can't live in a bubble. You also have to try to do the best you can. So I don't believe that any kind of glyphosate is good in your fucking food, in your cereal, in your oats. I also don't think you should be eating those things. So that solves that problem potentially. But then you get into the whole meat thing and beef and then vegetables. And there are a lot of different combinations, a lot of different possibilities. So just be open to those possibilities and understand that just because one regulatory agency, one person says, you know, this and that, just because one person says so, or one study says something, or even 30 studies say something, what's the agenda? What's the actual study on? What variables are they covering? What's best for you? What's best in your life? What's best for your lifestyle habits? What have you experimented with personally and seen and liked or disliked? What's your genetic history? You know, what's your... You know, what are you subject to? What are you at risk for? Adjust accordingly. You know, not everyone's the same. So just go into this whole world, go into this whole life, go into this whole process with an open mind and just stop being religious about things. The politics, the mentality for politics, the mentality for religion, it's poisoning all aspects of human, all aspects of our society. It's poisoning everything. It's that tribalistic nature. Just get off it with the food. Get off it with the food. Get off it with the fucking food. There's obviously no correct answer that anyone has. You know, you can bark up a tree all you want. You're not going to convince me that there's a right answer. Nothing has been proven yet. Nothing's been proven. We all know that. That's why there's confusion. That's why there's, you know, all these different diet plans, all these different things, all these different options, all this different research going on right now. We're trying. People are trying. But it's very, very hard and there's a lot of noise. That's why I promote the elimination process, because you're going to figure out what's best for you and not for anyone else. It kind of blocks out a lot of the noise and helps you focus on what are you feeling? What do you like? What is best for you? What makes you feel good? What gets you the most results? What is best? What can you be consistent with? What makes you happy? That's what's really important. Because in the end, it's your life and you're on this earth. You got to do what makes you happy. If you want to be lazy and eat whatever the fuck you want, then be lazy and eat whatever the fuck you want. You're going to pay the consequences for it. We know that pretty well. That's a choice that you might make right now that you're going to regret down the line. However, it's still your choice to make. So make it for the right reasons. Make it for the right reasons. The only right reasons are for your reasons. I can't tell you that your reasons are right or wrong. Everyone can have their opinion, and a lot of people in your circle are going to have their own opinion based on, you know, people like to voice their fucking opinions on everything. Me too. And I do it for comedic purposes. I do it for instructional purposes. But it's important to make it clear when things are opinions and we're just discussing topics and concepts, right? So leave this episode and this podcast today with the understanding that there's a lot of shit going on. There's a lot of shit in your food. This stuff is real. Do your research, look it up, and be aware that when you're consuming these products, they're not heart healthy. I mean, they might be. They have these kinds of poisons and weed killers and stuff in them. They have these chemicals in them. When you're eating these boxed foods, you're consuming this shit. If it's growing in the ground and people are spraying pesticides, you're eating those. You're eating those things. Which ones do you want to eat? How much of those are you going to consume? How are you cleaning your food? What do you... Pick your poison. Literally, it's like, pick your poison. The lesser of two evils. And in the end, we are all going to die. But don't use that term. That's an escapist. That's bullshit. When you say, oh, we're all going to die from something, so let me just enjoy myself and eat whatever I want. Well, yeah, we're all going to die from something. Some of us are going to die a lot younger and a lot less healthy than other people. You want to get the most out of your life. You want to live as long as you can, as vibrantly as you can, doing what you love. And that's that, right? So keep that in mind, and we'll continue this dialogue moving forward with all that. So again, thank you so much for watching and listening today. If you have not yet left a review on iTunes, please, Daily Swole Podcast on iTunes, go check it out and leave a review. I'd love to give you a shout out. And you could also leave a review on my Facebook page. You can just click, and I think it's not even a review. It's like a recommendation now. You can leave a recommendation. I'll be giving shout outs for those as well. So thank you everyone for joining me for episode 901 of the Most Muscular Swolecast, Beardcast, Broadcast, Gangcast, Mancast, Pimpcast, and Sleazecast in the realm, because when I flex, you flex, we all flex our biceps. I'll see you all tomorrow for episode 902 of the Daily Mother Swole. Peace, McGee's fam. Deuce, McGoose, your boy, Papa Swolio. Oh, out.